Hey everybody, welcome back to another Oversharing episode. We're continuing our guest theme today. We have Adam again with us, and today we're going to be talking about dreams. I had a friend of mine reach out to me. She had a dream. She's had a particular theme in her dream, this one dream throughout her life, and she was kind of asking if anybody can decode it or if anyone had any thoughts on it, and of course I did. So we talked about it, and that inspired me to do an Over Sharon episode. So I hit up Sharon, and she was like, yeah, let's do it. So what's up, Sharon?
It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day.
A little tiny bit windy, not too much. Breezy.
Yeah, it's a beautiful early fall day here. It's really nice. So I can't complain.
I can't either. Adam, how are you?
Fair to Midland. It's good here. It's definitely fall weather here, and considering I live on 5 acres of the forest, my whole yard is nothing but fallen leaves, and that's going to be
fun.
That's a nightmare to clean. It's a non-stop job for 4 or 5 months.
Nice. Well, that's why you're having kids. You just keep having them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, as soon as he's able to walk, throw a pitchfork on him and
get him to work.
Get to work.
Maybe by next year.
Yeah, and I wanted to invite Adam onto this because I know he has had some interesting dreams, and I thought it would be really nice to have his perspective on dreams.
Yeah, right on. Definitely.
Well, thanks for having me. Should be fun.
Yeah.
As always.
All right. Well, we can get started. I could talk about the dream that my friend was having and then my thoughts on it. So basically the dream, she said, is always with she's in a position where there's another person there, and it's like another entity, I guess you could say, as you will, is like a shadow figure. And sometimes it manifests as like a gray, or kind of like a dark, like a gray alien, or just like a dark presence. And she said, though, anytime she'll speak to it, if it comes, it'll disappear and then she'll wake up. So she has control. And she's also, most of these dreams, she is lucid or partially lucid. So she'll be like maybe under control, like kind of trapped and won't be able to do anything. And then once she realizes it, she can make it go away.
May I ask a question?
Please do.
What can you define lucid dream for anyone who might not know?
Oh yeah. Means? Good question. Sharon, look at you. Lucid dreaming is when you are able to dream and then take control of the dream. So you realize you're dreaming in the dream, and then you could kind of just be like a god of that dream or whatever it is. Oh. There's different degrees of it though. You know, sometimes you could, because I used to do a lot when I was younger. There's ranges from full on controlling everything to like Neo in the Matrix to like, you know, just being aware that you're in a dream. So then you just act differently.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So that was basically the gist of the dream. She said it's been reoccurring for her on and off, and she just gets it was like a very unsettling, unpleasant feeling. I guess you guys can imagine something like that. So what are your guys' thoughts on that? Before I go,
she said it was her lucid dreaming was unpleasant.
That part of it was just that dream with this entity. So it wasn't like a friendly thing. It was like scary.
She knew she was dreaming.
Yeah. There came to a certain point where she realized she was dreaming and she can control it, or she at least realized she was in control.
Okay. I just make sure I got it right. Yeah. I've experienced both sides of that coin. I've experienced, I'm dreaming, I can't do anything, I'm being attacked, or I'm paralyzed or frozen. And then I've mastered that. And now I'm on the other side where it feels like I'm Neo in the Matrix, where I do control and I do realize I'm sleeping, and I do have, you know, I'm in between the sleep state and I'm in between the dream state, and I'm right here in the middle where I can see those beings, I'm interacting with them, I can control time, stop time, slow things back. So I think it's pretty cool. And I think it takes time to get comfortable in that state. It takes some, a lot of skills, a lot of Neo skills to learn to how to, you know, overcome those fears. Cause pretty much whatever you bring in with you, it's like Star Wars. When Luke goes into that cave on Dagobah, whatever you take in with you, that's what's going to be there. So if you can control your, if you go into that sleep state, you're taking in fear, you're taking in your demons, you're taking in your baggage, well, you're going to have to face that stuff. But it, that stuff still exists. And if you go in there and you're like, you got Jedi powers, brother, then that's when cool stuff starts to happen. That's my thought on it.
So what do you guys think dreams are? Are they always there to tell us something, or do we go into this state where our, like they, the traditional, I guess the doctors will tell you, oh, you're just in a state where your mind and your brain are just, you know, cleaning everything up from the evening before and getting you ready for the next day. Is there some aspect of that going on some nights? Are there other aspects of like Adam was saying, you taking your own, you know, quote unquote demons and your own fear and your own things in the dream with you? Or are there entities also separately from you potentially trying to contact you and give you some sort of message? Or could it be a mixture of all of that?
I'm going to chime in really quick, then I'll let Adam go, cause I'm sure he has a lot to say about this, but I, from what I've heard and what I've seen looking into all my rabbit holes and all the stuff on the internet, it would seem that, you know, we talk about two sides of the mind or whatever, how there's like a conscious and an unconscious. It would seem that your conscious mind is sleeping or turned off, and it's your unconscious mind that has control. And sometimes you remember and sometimes you don't. And I think what you said about like what doctors and whoever tell us, it's, you know, it's the brain's way to process the day. I think some of that's right. And I think maybe there's some parts of it our conscious brain missed. So the unconscious mind is bringing it back. Maybe it's like unresolved things that need to be looked at. I don't think it always has to be a message. It could be, maybe it's sometimes it's just about fantasy and just letting go and stuff like that. But that's pretty much my thoughts. Adam.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's all of it. I think this is kind of where you're at in your journey in your life. If your higher self might be trying to communicate with you, if someone else is trying to telepathically communicate from you, maybe you are from your past. What it is I think it's pure consciousness. I think you kind of tap into it. Mm-hmm. So whether it's going to be like you're in a multiverse, you're in the upside down world, you're in a previous time or a future time, maybe you're trying to tell yourself something. Maybe you had, you know, you got stuff you're working through right now and you're trying to work it out. So like Raina said, you have your analytical and you have your creative side. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit of trying to balance that out. If you're too analytical, maybe, you know, maybe you're some more emotional stuff in your subconscious. I mean, it's everything. I mean, there's today's people, we're just told exactly what you said, Sharon. Doctors just like, oh, well, it's just, you know, you're in your gamma state and it's your highest frequency and you're just kind of flushing stuff out and pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. But nothing in reality
here.
Right. Exactly. But in reality, there are a ton of cultures that they thrive on dreams. They make political decisions in their tribes based on someone's dreams. So their television is they sit around a campfire and it's not just stories that they're telling. They're sharing that they're sharing their subconscious dreams. They're sharing their culture, their history, and they tie it all together. So, you know, when you start breaking down what the dreams mean, you know, decoding dreams, as Brandon said, you know, these people will take these things very seriously because they recognize what it is. And we've lost that.
Yes, we definitely have. And I do want to say, because Brandon, you asked me earlier what I thought about her dream. I'm going to say that I don't know that I can comment too much because I am not one in my dreams who has ever had those experiences of lucid dreaming and knowing that I'm in the dream and then controlling the dream. I don't know that that's ever happened to me, but I can say that years and years ago, I did experience experienced an inability to like fight back. So being in a situation where I'm being tormented or hit or kicked or, you know,
like a sleep paralysis happened. Type thing.
Yes, but not so much that like it, I can wake up and then I'm fine. But in the dream, I'm like wanting to kick or hit or fight back, mm-hmm. and I can't move. So like sleep paralysis within the dream is the only thing I've ever really experienced. But other than, and that, I don't think that's happened recently. So that was years ago. But other than that, I don't think I've experienced lucid dreaming.
Have you ever actually in real life, in this body, this realm, while you're sleeping, kick and punch and hit walls or hit, you know, actually move your physical body as you're trying to do something?
I think I have. Yeah. Because I've woken up doing what I was just about to do.
Yeah.
Or I've woken up crying because I was crying in the dream.
Yeah. And it's that it just became so real for you that it just kind of like it streamlines you back into, you know, this reality. Kate fears, we keep a pillow between us because she fears me of like kick. When I'm sleeping. Oh, I've punched and kicked her so many times. Like I've punched her square in the face many times while sleeping. No fault of her own, but she just knows don't touch me. Cause if you start touching me in my dream, I start transposing whatever, you know, something's on me and it shifts my dream. And now either someone's attacking me or someone's doing something and I can't control it because I can control my dreams. But if someone's touching me, I can't control that. So
holy smokes.
So when she was pregnant, she was laid on her other side, kept the pillow beside her and don't touch Adam while you sleep. But yeah, I manifest actual real punches and kicks. And last night, I don't know why, there was a spider web and I was in my dream, there's a spider web and I was like, oh, I'm just going to kind of duck under it. And as I'm ducking under it, the spider web keeps getting lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And I'm stuck and I'm trying to like get out. Well, I woke up and the pillow is underneath of me and I'm actually trying to crawl underneath my pillow. So that's why I couldn't get out because there was an actual physical object on my head, which was my pillow. That was just comical.
The web is coming to get you.
Yeah.
And that's all I think about is the web. Pillow. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Or the spider and have been Kate's face or something. Thanks. But on the lucid part with actually she seeing entities, I've dealt with entities on both sides of it. Where Sharon, you were saying that you felt like you were tormented. Well, I've definitely been tormented in my dreams. And I've definitely had things sitting on top of my chest and I couldn't move and I've been pinned down. So like I said, I'd experienced that side of it. But now I can be in that other realm and that in-between state and interact with them. And they're usually not good people that come after me. Like it's usually like Slender Man, if you will come knocking on my door and he'll like try to prey on me when I'm sleeping. And I'll hear someone coming in. Like there's an actual experience. I'll actually share this story. So I gotten so good that I could hear someone coming into the house. And so I got out of bed and I hear someone coming up the stairs and I'm like, all right, what's going on? And then I look and I saw myself laying on my bed. So I'm like, okay, I'm sleeping. I know what's going on here. Something's in the house coming at me or coming towards me. So I'm standing there like I'm ready to battle. And I can see myself and Kate laying on my bed. And around the corner at the doorway, he's coming in. It's this black, dark figure with this big red spider thing on his head. And he looks at me just like he was shocked. He was not expecting me to be there because he wanted to come and because every time I like resist them, they try to send someone more stronger a couple more months or weeks later. Like, oh, I think I can attack. I can get him. And they send someone stronger. So this guy was a big dude and he comes at me. He was flabbergasted. And I roared. I'm like, bring it on. And I charged at him and he's like freaking out. And I kind of did like Neo did in the Matrix. We dived into Agent Smith. I dove right for him. But as soon as I like contacted him, I instantly woke up. Either he disappeared or that physical contact.
It's the same experience my friend has. She wakes up instantly after that. She wants him to go away. Same kind of thing. So it's not a real threat in any way. It's just a perceived danger more.
And she doesn't really have any control. I mean, like, what is she doing to, like, I don't know, resolve whatever that is? Like, I knew what I was dealing with. But, you know, in her case.
Well, that's what we were really talking about was what that could mean in the interpretation of that. So I guess we can get into that. What are your thoughts on it? Well, for in your case, anyway,
I'm trying to decide how deep I want to go down Alice's rabbit hole.
The rabbit hole.
Because there are certain layers, like you got to be at certain friendship levels before I start sharing certain, before I overshare.
Overshare.
You mean on the internet for everybody?
Yeah. Exactly. That's why he disappeared for a decade. Now he's on the internet and YouTube. Yeah. So there's certain things I'm trying to think what I can and can't share.
No, that I get it. I will go ahead. Sharon.
So I was going to just bring up a generic kind of question about, I think Adam was saying that these entities, you know, they could be coming to do maybe cause some harm, but from Brandon's perspective, it sounded like that may not have been the case with his friend, where it wasn't like a harmful thing, or it wasn't going to be something scary. That I mean, that's how I saw it. So what are your guys'
thoughts? Did she feel threatened? I mean, or was it just like, oh my goodness, I'm startled. No, being startled just, and being threatened, or, you know.
I just know there was a fear. She was just afraid of the entity, really.
Okay. Because I mean, you know, if when your amygdala is open up, you're going to be scared of something or other until you realize, oh, what's this is, you know, you might see a big spider in the sky. I'm like, oh no, that's just plasma science. No, I'm good now. So it's going back to perspective. So yeah, you're going to be scared until you know what you're facing. And when you're facing it, it's usually easier to disarm it.
I'm trying to paint
broad strokes.
What? Look at your hat, by the way, Adam.
Yeah. So I have my hoodie on because I take it off and you can see right through here. Because the green screen doesn't work. I mean,
there's like a black guy on your hat, but running away, like
Brandon's
a shadow figure.
Green screen does.
Oh no, he's like lifting up
weights. He's lifting.
Oh, okay.
He's lifting up weights.
Because you were saying something about a black slender figure, and I was just saying, I was thinking it's funny. There's one on your hat.
There is.
It's come to get you.
Nah, he can't.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I was going with that whole interpretation for my friend. I was telling her that it could be an aspect of yourself that's looking to communicate with yourself. Maybe it's something that you don't want to face right now. That's why it's shadow. That's why it's dark. But for whatever reason, your other side of your mind, your unconscious, is trying to say, hey, you really need to pay attention to this. There's something that's going on here. You know, wake up.
That's a good thought. Because wasn't Agent Smith the antagonist of Neo? So that was his shadow, wasn't it? I mean, you want to, depending on how deep you want to go. Mm. And he had to dive into it to overcome it, break it, free it.
And he had to die first to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I was. What's that?
I said die to self.
Yeah, yeah.
Ego death.
Yeah, everything he knew and his point of view on the world really had to die. And that's what died when he died. Because when he woke up after he died, he realized he was immortal in that realm. So everything was just different after that.
Right. And that was, in essence of the movie, the dream world, right? So the Matrix was the dream world. Mm-hmm. And inside of it, he was immortal because fear was gone. Forget the whole technology. He could go in and out, right? So when he'd wake up, he's in Zion. And when he goes to sleep, he's in the dream state. So he can control it. Other people just like, oh, don't worry about it. Just go about your business. Nothing to see here.
Exactly. So, and maintain in the dream world. And that could be a metaphor for like the everyday world and their waking state. And they're just going along with everything and not really being awake. So that's definitely something I see there. And then to bring it back to my friend's dream with the shadow and what you were saying, I think it's interesting because if there is a being there that has a message for you and you don't want to hear it, what are you going to do? You're going to fight it, right? So that's what you did. And that's basically what she was doing. So maybe if you're having this dream, I'm not saying you, Adam, but somebody who is having a little more difficulty with this dream or whatever, you could say, maybe try to invite this being in and try to communicate with it or say, do you have a message for me? Why are you here? Mm. Something like that.
That's a good idea. That's a good thought. Okay. Now this guy, allegedly, I could feel the aura and I knew it was negative before it even entered the house. But you're right. I did like a PLR, past life regression. I think I shared before, overshared before. And that was one of the things that the lady was telling me about. Like I was trying to interact with other people in like a higher state, and I couldn't, I just felt lost. And she kept saying, well, ask for help, just put it out there. Ask in your dream state where you, cause I was kind of like a lucid dream waking state, which what they put you in, just ask for help. And I literally spoke out loud, I need some help. I'm not sure what to do right now. Can somebody can please come over and help me? And that's when a figure came over my and was like started trying to communicate with me. But they were communicating with me through like images and pictures. There was like no sound. It was kind of like a telecommunic, like I'm communicating with you through pictures and just really, really fast. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. What do you I was overwhelmed. Like I caught a couple of symbols. Like, all right, that's a pentagram. Like, all right, I kind of recognize that symbol, but I don't really know what you're saying. And
a different language.
Yeah, it was. And it just like, that's the way that was the default. So eventually it started talking to me. But the funny thing was, it's the synchronicity thing of it was, is after that, I had another meeting with some other friends in my state, and they're all the same wavelength as we are, same spiritual path. And they're kind of like, this is the first time we all collectively got together on a Zoom call to kind of share some thoughts. Well, the one lady at the end was just kind of like talking about angelic beings and how they communicate. And she threw up this symbol. It's like, now this is a symbol that I've drawn. And it's like one of the angelic, it's an angelic language. And it means how to it means manifestation. So when you draw this symbol out, it's everything that represents manifestation. And I'm like, I think I've seen that symbol. Like that's how they were communicating with me, was those exact same shapes. So
amazing.
I'm going to go find it right now, cause it's pretty cool.
Speaking of symbols and stuff, Brandon, do you know of any symbols or archetypes that have any meanings in dreams?
Well, I think we could start off with the shadow figure. I think the shadow figure a lot of times is another aspect of ourselves, like we were saying before. Because if, like Adam was saying, the other part of our brain or whatever it is, it could be, say it's the source that we have, it's the part of our brain that has contact with God or the source or whatever you want to say. So that's how it communicates, kind of like right brain creatively, through symbols, through pictures, through words and tastes and senses and stuff like that. And I feel like if that's the case and you're trying to think of what your shadow, a shadow being could be, could it be, like I was saying, an aspect of yourself that's come there to try to give you a message? And of course you're going to be scared of it. Your conscious self, it's because it's something you don't want to hear. So say if you have a problem with some form of escapism, you know, like say in my case, when I was womenizing and doing all that fun stuff, and if I had a dream, I remember I used to have dreams where I felt helpless, something was coming to get me or whatever it was, like not exactly a shadow figure, just there was even situations where things would happen and I couldn't act, I couldn't move, I was like frozen. Could have just been like an everyday situation where I was kind of like paralyzed, like somebody would come up to fight me and I couldn't defend myself. So I think what was going on is that it was saying that something was trying to tell me that you're not taking any action here. You need to take action. You're just standing here. This guy's going to hit you in the face or whatever it is. This guy's going to shoot you. It's just showing me different scenarios because it's like a pun, right? It's like an allegory. It's like a simile. It's saying, hey man, you're not taking any action in your life. You need to take some action here. Take some fucking action. And it just keeps coming back and they get worse and they get worse until finally take some action. So that could be considered an archetype. I guess there's all kinds of the way the archetypes work. Like you have the hero, you have the Loki characters, just different aspects of things we see in movies. And they're just really what archetype is. It's just like a way of being to attain to. So it's like a story, like Jesus is an archetype on some level. You can look at like his behavior. If you want to model yourself to be like him, he's the archetype. He's the guru. It's the same thing with different aspects. So in your dream, when you have a different character that you interact with, or you can even look at your own behavior, what are you doing in the dream? Maybe that's what it's trying to tell you. If you're like walking in a field and everything's nice, or if you're walking in a place and everything's dark and scary, or you have two different paths, but you keep choosing the one that's really nice and you're afraid to go down the scary one, well, what's stopping you? Why are you afraid to go down there? So it's the archetype, and it's really a lot of allegory as well.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And I also wonder if, like, you know, my dreams get pretty fantastical, very fantastical, to the point where, you know, that could be a movie. I think, you know, so-and-so director needs to make it. Like, there's no way I can create it. So it makes me think, you know, what if that, you know, you're tapping into that creative subconscious, the same subconscious creative consciousness that they tap into. I say they as in like Hollywood directors or, you know, anyone that's making content, but we just don't know how to do it because, you know, that's the same, you know, if I want to sit here and think of something, well, I can sit here and create that whole entire world, or someone may have already created that entire world and written it or experienced it. Maybe it might have been someone's journey. And now you're either tapping into that existing thread, you know, if you want to think of time as like threads, and you're tapping into that one and you're experiencing it. And now you're taking that hero. Now you're Loki, and you're going through his journey of whatever he did. You might be able to, you know, interact and make some changes, or you might just be sitting as a co-pilot and just experiencing it, which I think a lot of people these days do, because they're just blasting right before they go to sleep. What do they do when they come home? They're tired of working, they drink, and then they watch, they consume TV. Well, they're consuming whatever it is that they want to implant in your mind. So you're now, instead of driving in your dream, you're now just being the co-pilot, and Netflix is now your driver, and you're just falling asleep drunk and experiencing whatever, you know, pathway that they've put you on. So then you wake up the next morning and, oh, whether you remember you dreamt or you didn't remember you dreamt, now you're living Loki's life in some form because he did this action and that was implanted in you. And, you know, that's the difference, taking control or being controlled of your dream state. I think it's not easy to take control. But best part of my day is going to sleep. I love going to sleep. I love it. It's better than reality. And I'm serious. I thoroughly enjoy it. I love my life, but man, I just, the journeys and the things that go on is great. I actually take tryptophan, which is in like Turkey. Like when you eat turkey and you get tired, it's the tryptophan.
Yeah.
But you can actually buy tryptophan pills. So I'll, like, some people will take nut niacin,
melatonin.
Yeah, people take melatonin, but then your body stops reproducing the melatonin, and then you start having issues and you're not balanced anymore. It's totally not good for you. Like, less than 1% of the people that take it should be taking it. Like, it's a very small majority.
Allegedly,
right? Those are just, you know, 95% of numbers are 30% made up. So, the tryptophan, you know, that's a natural product. Well, so is the whatever, but I take that every once in a while. I'm just like, all right, today's a good night. I do what Sharon does, and I make my own homemade yogurt now. So I take a little bit of yogurt, homemade yogurt, because that helps with the digestion. I take a little bit of B12. You're supposed to take that at night. And I take a tryptophan pill, and guaranteed Alice rabbit hole for me anyhow. But wow. I got to pick and choose certain nights, because if I had to take care of the kid one night, then, you know, it's just a zombie, man. But yeah.
And you don't wake up like groggy or anything?
Uh-uh. No, I'm a rock. And usually I'll have to like just sleep in my boxers, because I'll be drenched. Like, I'll drench the bed because I'm just laying there, and I'm just so, it's so intense and it's so real for me. And I'll experience like months and months and months of time in a matter of like 5 hours. And like, I can recall a full year of my life that I never lived in this one, you know, Loki-esque type world environment that I went through.
Wow.
And, you know, I woke up just in a puddle because my body was going through it. So it burnt. Like, some dreams you remember, some dreams, oh, that was a, you know, intense dream, or, you know, you have all, this was a lifetime. I experienced a whole different world. But when I do that and I wake up, best sleep ever. I can go 2 or 3 days without sleeping again.
Wow. What you just said about sleeping for 5 hours and going through months,
mm-hmm.
that reminds me of the movie Inception, which I just watched again after however many years, because I think I only watched it once when it came out, and then I just watched it again the other day. And I just wanted to remember what it was about. And I especially wanted to remember what it was about because if in case it came up and I wanted to talk about it here on this show. But yeah, it was just intense how they would talk about when you go and you're like 1 minute or 5 minutes was equivalent to like, I don't know how much time.
Yeah, time slowed down the next level you got down into.
Yeah. Yeah. And every level was just deeper and longer. And so like he was saying in the dream, sorry, he was saying in the movie how the main character, Leonardo DiCaprio, and his wife who had passed away, how they had lived like a lifetime just, and they grew old, but in the dream space. It's just bizarre to think about that, especially because I've never experienced those kinds of dreams.
Yeah. I was thinking of the Infinity's dream, like when they went to like the base dream level, whatever base zero is for the dream, that's where they could create anything forever. That kind of, I was thinking about that just now. It made me think of like, you know, most of the cities was just destroyed. It was like all damaged, and there's only one little house. And that's the house that they lived in. But wasn't it like pretty well, like, I don't know, like old, decrepit, like decayed, broken? I can't remember.
Yeah. I don't remember that part of the zero base level dream place where they could create.
Well, that's where the wife was. That's where he implanted the idea. Cause it's like, that was the whole point, right? Implanting the idea. Inception, and so he had to keep going down. And all right, if you can go down to level one and the guy is a big sheep, okay, easy plant. Okay, nope, this guy's got security. We got to go into the next level. Okay, nope, next. Okay. And he went all the way down to the base level where he lost his wife, where he didn't ever wanted to go again. And that's where he was able to plant his idea. But I just think, I was trying to remember, it made me think of like an apocalyptic type scenario where the city was all falling apart and destroying, big waves coming up. I was just thinking of the EMCO thing.
Yeah, indeed. But,
did you find anything other goodies in there from watching it again? It's been a while since I've seen it.
I got so into it that I forgot to look for goodies.
Yeah. How dare you?
I know.
Supposed to be doing research here, not enjoying yourself.
I went back to my old days, watching for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, right. No, that's great. There's actually a tip that I know for if you want to try to train yourself to be a lucid dreamer, and you do it in the waking life all the time. When you walk into a room all the time, every time you walk in, you just knock on the wall. Cause like in a dream, because in a dream, if you do that, nothing happens. And then you always look at clocks also, because clocks and time, you know, all that stuff's not real. So, but the knocking thing is good. So if you train yourself to do it all the time, and then you'll start doing it in your dream, and then you can notice, and you're like, wait a minute, I must be dreaming. And then from there,
when you say nothing happens in the dream, you mean you won't hear a knock, or
you won't feel anything or hear anything because it's not real. So it just takes subtle little things like that to make yourself realize.
Really? Okay. Well, that reminds me of the movie Inception, because they had this little thing that they carried with them so they could tell themselves if they were in the dream or not. And if they, like, that one was a little spinning top, and if it spun forever, they knew they were in dreamland. But to test themselves when they were awake, they would spin it, because sometimes they didn't know if they were still dreaming or not. So that's what it reminds me of. But like, I didn't think that like knocking on a wall in a dream wouldn't make, like, you wouldn't think that it in your dream, you wouldn't say, okay, it made a sound or anything like that. That's kind of,
well, because the way dreams work, they're not exactly just like reality. So it's not going to feel exactly, I mean, maybe unless you're like a super dreamer and you're really into it, but usually, or the way I experience it, dreams, it's kind of like things are happening around me and I'm in the state, but I don't always try to do things. And when I was younger, I would just realize because I'd catch something that didn't make sense. And they're like, oh, I must be dreaming. So this is one of these things that you could train yourself to do that won't make sense. So,
okay.
Yeah. When you go to knock, it's just not, I mean, you might still hear a noise. It might, something might happen, but it won't feel like you do the it every same. Time. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Ah, there you
go. Yeah. Like I'll try to like to read something or like I'll see numbers. I'm trying to read something and I can't, because the more you try to focus on reading something, it's, you're trying to get more analytical and you're like, that's how I like, oh, okay. I can't make it out. I'm dreaming. So that's a trick for me. But then there's sometimes I'm getting better at reading in my dream state. So it's getting a little confusing, but most people can't. I mean, it's rare that I can, but that's why you said, look at the clock too. Look at the clock, look at letters. If you can read something, or if you're having a hard time making it out, then, you know,
Sharon's going to be in a bank in like Phoenix, like, give me all the money. I'm dreaming. Oh, wait a minute. No, Sharon, you're not really dreaming, but this clock is all fucked up. The clocks are just broken. It's okay, Sharon. All right. Sorry, guy. I thought I was dreaming. She's like, let's party. No. Anyway.
Yeah. So does anyone have an interesting dream they would like to share? Overshare.
How about you, Sharon? What do you have for us?
Well, I will say that I can't remember a lot of my dreams because they've never been the type of dreams to be something like they came true or anything like that. Because I know that there are people who have those sorts of dreams. And for example, my mom, she dreamt two of my nieces and I think one of my nephews, and she knew what they were going to look like before they were born. But I've not been one to dream that way. But I have had a couple of interesting dreams in the last couple of years. Well, in the last, I suppose almost 2 years, that were very interesting, very telling. And one of them happened at the beginning of 2020. And it was, I believe it was in February, and Andres and I were still together. And I even sent him the dream via text, because sometimes I would do that because I would have wacky, interesting dreams. And sometimes I would just, like, I'd wake up and before I'd forget, I would just text him. I'd be like, this is what I dreamt. And I would, you know, text him this couple paragraphs or something. He'd always be like, that's crazy. You always have the weirdest dreams. He was just surprised at like my ability to remember all these details about the dreams too. But in this particular dream, we were on this, mind you, it's beginning of 2020. Okay. February. So maybe I had heard stories that we were going to allegedly, you know, if we didn't, whatever with this whole alleged pandemic that was coming down, if we didn't obey or do whatever, then we might get martial law or something like that, right? But I don't think it was that, people weren't talking about that much yet, so I don't know where this came from. But so in my dream, I'm traveling. And then at some point I end up on this beach and Andres is with me, but there's all these other people there too. And then at some point, all this like military personnel shows up on the beach, and I don't think they were Navy because they weren't wearing blue, they were, or white. They were wearing like tan color. So I don't know what they were, but they were all there. And it was like, they were there, but they weren't, it was almost like the presence was there as if to like scare you into thinking that they would do something if you didn't, you know, do what you're supposed to do. But for me, I wasn't afraid of them. And I just told myself, I'm out. I'm getting out of here. Like, I'm not going to just let these people walk all over me and think that they can tell me what to do. And I'm just going to walk right out of here and they're not even going to notice. And, you know, so I told Andres, I packed up this little laptop size bag that I had with all the belongings I had, which was like almost nothing. And I told him, I don't know about you, but I'm not staying here. And I started walking confidently, not worrying about who was behind me, who was in, like, I didn't even care. I was just like, I'm walking right out of here. I don't care. And people weren't bothering me. No one was bothering me. Just, I walked right out of there, and Andres was supposed to be right behind me. Well, at some point I noticed he wasn't behind me anymore. And I finally got to this area where there were these like bunkers, like concrete bunkers in the sand. And at some point he finally found me, and I said, oh, I said, what happened? And he said that he got stopped and they might've taken some of his belongings or something, but he was fine. He was cool. And I had traveled long enough that I said, you know what, I'm just going to chill in one of these bunkers for the night. And I'm not staying here. I'm taking off. And I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know anything. I just knew that I wasn't afraid and I was just going to move on. And I wasn't going to stay there with those people. And I told him, you know, I'm going to do this and you're welcome to join. And I looked at him for like, are you coming with me or not? And then he just gave me the face of that he always gave me, which was like, I don't know. Like, so I just thought, I don't know. And that's where the dream ended. So in my head, I just, that dream was so, so much like no other dream I'd ever had before. It was like, to me, that I knew that was like a prophetic type of dream. It was trying to tell me something. And lo and behold, it was trying to tell me he was not going to come with me on this journey.
Foreshadow.
Yeah. It was just crazy. And then almost a year later, he passes away in February of 2021. So it was just, like I said, very few dreams like that I've had in my life. That was probably the first one. The second one was the year that he died, and it was like 2 weeks before he died. And that one was a little bit, I don't have to tell that one, but that one also was very telling, and it told me something. And later on, it was true. It was right. And again, very few times I've had, I think I can count on, those are the two dreams I've had that were telling me something.
I remember you sharing that dream
with you.
And what was interesting is I had a dream that same week, if not the same day or the day before.
I remember was like that.
A day or two before or after.
We were both having these.
It was the same dream, but it was a different scenario, but it was the same dream. Because my dream was I was in an airport, not a beach, but the beach was crowded and everybody was trying to get out, but no one was allowed to leave because there were these men armed with that, you know, they were trying to control everybody and tell, but you can't do anything. You're stuck mm-hmm. here. And I was like, oh, I ain't having any part of this. This isn't how I go out. This isn't, I'm out. So exactly. I snuck out and I was able to, you know, all traffic had stopped and I found this, like, I don't know, Greyhound bus, and I hopped on this Greyhound bus and it was just all older women. And they knew I was trying to hide underneath of us under here. And as soon as I hide, they were looking for me. They were trying to get me, the military people. And they came on the board and they're looking around for them. Well, we haven't seen anybody. You know, these are the nice little old Christian ladies. We haven't seen anybody. And then it gets off. Well, then I peek out and all there's people just lined up in the streets. And I couldn't hear what they were saying, but the same men had their guns pointing at these people's faces and all the people were like on their knees. And they were saying something, like asking them a question. And I couldn't hear what it was, but it was definitely like, pointing at your head, and you have to decide yes or no. And just constantly just like, no, like the people were just being executed left and right. And I'm like, oh snap, I got to get out. So I bailed and I got out of the car or the Greyhound And I kind of like, I was caught calm. Like, I didn't feel like I was threatened. I just like, I got to get out of here. Like, I wasn't even panicking. Like, even though people were being executed left and right, that was cool. I was like, all right, got to get out. So I get out, I find a car and I take off. And next thing I know, I'm heading towards the mountains. Like, all the city life faded away. And it's just one big, huge mountain with like a cave. And like the road just kind of led right into the cave. And that's where I felt I was supposed to go. And I just kind of like was going straight there. The sun was setting and I had taken one of the guards' passport cards. I don't know how. And there's like a big gate. You couldn't get into the cave unless you had the certain entry. Like, all right, let me just scan this card. I don't remember how I got it, but here it is. Scanned it. The door opened up. I go in, everything blacks, fades out, and I wake up. But it was the same type of dream, the same day she did, about, you know, these military people holding people, you know, we're not supposed to be here. Something's not right. And just, and then that was the same 2020 where they pushed all this agenda out. And of course the guns were the laser guns. And, you know, Andre wasn't sure what his decision he was going to make. And this is nothing but foreshadowing. And it's interesting. I wasn't going to share. I forgot all about that dream until you had said that, but I'm sharing it because of the synchronicity. Like, we had the exact same 24 hour window.
Right. And we both, like, when I told you, you told me yours, and it was so, so synchronistic.
But that's why I go back to why some cultures sit around the campfire and share their stories, because like, I had a dream similar. So did I. Yeah. And so then they start, you know, their frequencies are starting the same.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they feel more comfortable to move forward in a certain direction. You know, if we were in a tribe together, like, okay, you and I both agree that we need to leave this tribe and go out somewhere else because something's not right.
Right. Well, what was interesting too, is you said cave.
I know. I'm seeing it now. I know. You know, it's a long drive up a hill to a cave.
Whoever was telling you that back then already knew what you're studying now.
If not our higher selves kind of just showing us the roadmap, right? I mean, like, if we picked our own life and we picked our time to come here, then we should automatically know how it already lays out.
Right.
But then we took the cup of forgetfulness, as Zen Garcia likes to say, and then we came down and don't remember anything. And
that's
right. And we start crying because our doctor slaps our butt. It's not because we're sad. It's because, crap, I'm here again. I got to go through how many years? And now, you know, that's why babies are crying. So my boy was crying on his birthday when he's, you know, I was
on his born day.
On his born day, thank you. You know, I was excited and crying, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. Like, I'm empathizing with him because, like, I know you're here again.
Oh.
But anyhow. Brandon, you said something earlier about super dreaming. And I wrote that down. Let's see if you want to, if you're just saying it to say it, or if you actually wanted to elaborate on it, where you're like, you know, he may not actually feel physical objects or feel anything physically unless you're super dreaming.
Yes.
So what does that mean? I've had experience or two, and I want to hear if you had more to elaborate on that.
Well, I mean, so if you're, I think you could attain a state in dream world where it is going to feel really real. And maybe when you knock a wall, you're going to hear it. The way I dream, I've always go really deep, and recently I haven't really remembered a lot of my dreams. Just kind of like the idea of what it was or the place or the, you know, like right when I wake up. But if I'm even just drifting off to take a nap, if I like slip out of consciousness for a minute, I'll totally go into a different world. Like, I'll slip out for a couple minutes, wake up and be like, wow, I was just somewhere else.
Yeah. I've been doing that recently too.
Yeah. And I think that has a lot to do with it as well. But I don't have any certain definition for super dreaming. I was kind of just throwing it out there.
Okay.
But Adam probably does.
Yeah. I think when I was younger, like I said, I would lucid dream and dream a lot more, but these days, not as much. It's more of like a place that I dream about, I think. So, yeah.
So Adam, you said you had experiences super dreaming, or at least your definition of super dreaming.
Right. My definition of super dreaming was pretty intense, and I've only experienced it twice. And I felt like it was like,
Like, I don't know what your super dreams are, if like your normal dreams are what I would call super dreams. So these are like super.
Right, that's why I wanted Brandon to define super dreaming. I would define it as like a 5D avatar type dreaming, and where like, you know, when you've seen Avatar, so he goes to sleep and right. he wakes up in a new body, but he can touch and feel and interact with the dream world, mm-hmm. where majority of us would just experience the consciousness of the dream world and don't actually experience the physicality of it. Mm-hmm. And I've had the ability twice to experience the physicality of it, and it's intense because you know you're sleep. Like even an Avatar, he knew he was in bed. He knew he's sleeping. Mm-hmm. He could probably still feel his body and fully aware of himself, but he's also fully aware of this where he's at now. So it's being aware of both things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that itself was weird. And it was almost like everything I would touch, like touch in that world was far more richer than 3D, like me, just like 3D stuff. Like, yeah, I can feel this and everything else. But when I'm touching that in the other world, I can feel the energy. Like I can feel what makes this what it is. And like, it's mm-hmm. like you can feel color almost. And it's just very vibrant. And I was in there for a good while. Some of the things happened. I don't want to get into, but it was, I'd like to go back there again. I've been asking to go back, but I failed a test and I was booted out of that. So I was given mm-hmm. very strict guidelines because it was kind of like a trial run. Here you go. You can experience this. Don't do this one thing.
What okay. you go and do?
Which, well, I was like, okay, that's fine. I started going about and I started to think about that one thing. I really started to think about it. And they were kind of like watching that interaction, that communication between myself and my thoughts and my actions. And there's like, nope, we're going to stop you before you even finish that thought. And they booted me back out. I'm just like, no. And I kind of got like a super dream light version. Like a couple of months later, but I've been,
how long I want to go back that first one.
Yeah, not even a year. I mean, it was, okay. it was fairly recent, but it was pretty cool.
Wow. So you were talking about how you feel something differently. You can experience it differently. Kind of like that lady that we watched the DMT experience, her experiencing yeah. that effect, right? Lately, when I've been in doing my meditation, when I come out of the meditation, I feel almost exactly like that was what I was experiencing, because I feel like I was in some amazing place and I could feel things differently in that place. And I almost want to just go back. Like I get out of meditation and I'm like, But I was just dreaming about that. I want to go back there. It's crazy.
Well, you probably were there.
Yeah.
Wherever you were, you were there. I mean, yeah. Right? Yeah. Whatever you think, there you are.
Right.
But that's cool. Yeah, go back.
Yeah.
So if meditation's doing that for you, maybe I need to ramp up my meditation because I want to go back to those places.
Right. And I meditate lying down. I don't do it sitting down because I feel like I can relax more when I'm lying down. And then I can enter that state more easily rather than sitting. But I don't.
Do either of you use or look into like dream crystals or anything to like I talked about with the, oh, I already forgot what it was. The turkey pill. I just call it the turkey pill. Okay. Give me a turkey pill. But do you ever use like, there's certain crystals that you can put on your forehead or your chest or like sleep with, or like they make, if you go on Etsy, you can type in like dream crystal pouch, as little pouch of crystals that you can just like,
I didn't know that.
I don't know if any guys have heard anything about that.
Some. Ooh, I have crystals are kind of the new thing I've been getting into, and I have a bunch of ones, and I think I just like,
sleep with them, Brandon.
Yeah, I haven't. Oh, don't worry. I haven't.
Pouch. Put them on your chest and just sleep.
Oh, sometimes when I lay there, I'll have
stay one away my from chest my lucky charms.
Yeah, no, I've done it before. I've laid on the ground and put one on my head and one on my chest, just like instinctively. So, yeah, there's probably something to that. That's crazy.
I need to get me some.
Yeah, I have a couple bandanas like Brandon does, and I have one that's an amethyst, because amethyst is supposed to help with your pineal. It's the same okay. vibrational frequency. So I'll put the bandana on, and then I'll put the amethyst in it. It's like a flat palm one. So I put it on there and then I just kind of go about my day, or I sleep with it on. And have I noticed any difference? Hmm. I don't know, but I'm trying to figure something out.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think the intention alone is good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Brandon, maybe to close this out, what were some of, unless you guys have other things you want to talk about, did you want to share a dream, Brandon? Or did you want to finish talking about your friend?
Yeah, share. Overshare, buddy.
I can't think of anything that comes to my mind. Oh, you know, I could share a dream from when I was a kid that stuck with me. I might have been like 7 or something like that, around that age. And it's like a nightmare that I had that always really just, I mean, I still remember to this day. So it must've been pretty crazy. And it was one of those dreams that you're in and it's super realistic. Like it felt like real life. And this is probably before I was lucid dreaming, or I just wasn't able to do it in this dream. And I remember I was with my uncle Bob, and who's my dad's brother. And I don't remember exactly what we were doing, but there might've been a couple other people there, but we got all of a sudden these wolves started coming in and attacking us. And it wasn't like any other dream that I'd had before. It was very realistic. And like, I got bit and I really could feel it. And it wasn't like a sharp pain. It's hard to explain, but it felt kind of like real. It was like really disturbing. And I think it was around the time that movie, The Hounds of Bastardville or whatever, So they had like these dogs with these like glowing eyes. So I think that's on the TV, you know? So I think that's what freaked me out a little bit. And, but yeah, it was just, I remember waking up and just being like, wow. I remember getting bit on my neck, like feeling it. And it felt like I really got bit. It was crazy.
That is very strange.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, the fact that I still remember it to this day is pretty nuts.
Have you had any ongoing fears of dogs since, or wolves, I guess, but dogs, canines?
No, not really. I mean, at the time I was in, I had a dog and stuff at the time. So I definitely differentiated. And I think it was also, like I said, that TV thing, whatever, was freaking me out. But, you know, thinking about it now, it could have just been something that was going on in my life that I didn't have like a direct contact, you know, something that was harming me that I didn't realize was going on or something like that, but nothing I can think of specifically now.
And
but,
the dog was trying to warn you perhaps by biting you.
Yeah. Something like that. Hmm. Yeah. Who knows? You're getting thrown to the wolves, baby. Buckle up.
So back to your friend, maybe we can end with that. What kind of were the things, the takeaways you had with your friend's dream? Oh,
you know what I can share? This is pretty crazy. I remember when I was younger, and this is probably when I was like just in puberty up until like my teenage years and stuff like that. Whenever I was dreaming and I realized it was a lucid dream, I would just like automatically go like try to find a girl to have sex with. Like it was crazy. Yeah, dude, it was like, yeah. And yeah, it was nuts. So that was like my number one mission. It was so funny. So there's a little bit of humor for everybody. And I guess it goes to like, you know, my whole life, what happened. And then I had to like go and, or I healed it, this certain aspects, and, you know, things are still working on, stuff like that.
That was foreboding.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I would just be like, game on, like Rick and Morty style, you know, like when I see those. Yeah, dude, it was crazy. But at least it was a dream, and I knew it was a dream. So,
well, it's funny since you said that. Yeah. That was my one rule. I was not allowed to go mingle. I wasn't allowed to use that body and that experience that I was interacting with to go copulate or experience or be lustful, because whatever that level of intensity. Because you know, here on Earth, if you're here in this Earth, in this realm, you know, that type of experience, touching and all that stuff, that's pretty intense. So for whatever reason, I wasn't allowed to have that level, because I was probably still trying to baby steps. I was trying to walk this little thing. It's like, nah, stay far away from that. And I'm like, okay. And I started to think about it. Oh, but if this doorknob feels like this, I wonder.
Yeah, that's funny, because we were talking off air about something like this Adam and I were, and it was about our existence here in this realm. And I was kind of saying how, what if it was, we were here to try to overcome our attachment to our reproducing mechanism. We'll put it that way nicely. So that's really cool, because it's like, if you're going to taint to the next level, they're saying, no, in here, you can't have those thoughts. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but in here, you're not going to be able to handle it, bro. Like, that's what they're trying to say. Like, listen, it's probably like, that's the next level, but slow down, fella. Like, you know, it's not like we're trying to be anywhere like prudish or whatever. They're just like, no, it'll blow your fucking mind, bro. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Great.
Because that's, we were talking about, like, you want to look at like the fall of man, right? The original sin was supposed to be sex. And I was trying to say, like, well, there's sacred sex and then there's explosion sex. And I was saying, like, well, the sacred sex was supposed to be like you and your twin flame were kind of like together doing the deed correctly, being supervised by angels to procreate, but like bringing your chakras together and having the flow and going, you know, from your root all the way up into your crown, and then the torus back around, the two coming together, and that was the correct way of flowing. But then mm-hmm. someone had it in their thought to have, well, what happens if we go the other way? And you know, they go the other way, and now they're exploding, and they're focusing that their red zone, their root chakra is now exploding instead of your pineal exploding. Mm. So that's a reversal of it. So that's kind of what I was getting into that. So if that's truth, and that's, you know, I was interacting with that type of a body. Well, no, dude, if you're trying to interact with those bodies that go, you're coming into this thing trying to flow the wrong way. And I'm just kind of giving you like a demo. Right. Yeah, exactly.
You're in demo mode. Yeah.
You'll be banned for life if you do it again. No, get out.
Yeah, I like that. And you know, that reminds me of something, because when we were having that discussion, you know, if you think about what you're saying, the sacred sex, two people are upright and they're facing each other. And most of the sex that we have, missionary position, oh my God, it just blew my mind, is laying this way.
You should.
Know? Right. Yeah. So there was a rumor going around. I remember when I was younger, like in the 80s or whatever, people would be like, oh, if you want to have a boy, you have to have sex standing up or whatever, you know? So like, it's like a little bit of truth bomb to that. Not that you're going to have a boy, but it's like, maybe the correct way is to, you know, so everybody, we're making claims on oversharing. If you're going to have sex, you got to stand up now. No more bed sex, you dirty animals. No, anyway, so what if that, yeah.
Sorry. You dirty animal.
You dirty, how dare you have sex in a bed? You should be standing. Anyway, so there could be something to that though, for sure, because the sacred sex thing is all about not really actually spilling your seed. So it's kind of like a magical conception, if you will. I don't know if I've ever heard that before. Anyway, yeah. So it's like a clean conception. It's
very immaculate. Yeah.
It's immaculate. It's very like, yeah. So I think that there could be something to this. Maybe could it be that's why this whole world, whatever, is quote unquote out of balance, because maybe something that happened and it's just swinging back, and that's the balance that we have to achieve. We have to figure out our attachment to this process of reproducing.
Could it be?
And we have to do our own polar shift.
Yeah. And it's not a judgment, you know, like it's just how things are. And I think the really, like we said this before, if you want to overcome a certain behavior, one of the best ways is to hit rock bottom, and you just go full in until you're just sick of it. Like, that's how drug addicts, most of them get done. Like that, my friend who's a heroin addict, that's how he kicked it. You know, I had another friend who's a heroin addict that kicked heroin because he was able to do comedy, which is hilarious. And he goes, if I'm never able to do comedy, I'm going to start doing heroin again. I'm like, I love it. So anyway, that was a funny story. And then, you know, myself, the same thing. I just kind of got like disgusted with my own behavior. I'm just like, this isn't doing it for me anymore. It doesn't scratch the itch that it used to.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny that you were talking about, because you and I, Brandon, we were talking about that. What was it, yesterday? But the day before, about, you know, and for me, it's just been over the years of just things that I've been able to let go, because I don't need them. Or, and I used to say, like, God's taken so much away from me, but it was a good thing. And one of those things over time was kind of like the desire for, like, not that I ever had this like strong desire for food all the time, but there is that temptation of, like it, today people look at food almost like it's like food porn. Like it has to be like drippingly, amazingly, deliciously looking, you know what I mean? It has to like ooze and like the pictures have to look, you know,
you're making me hungry, Sharon. Stop. I didn't eat yet.
Lasagna is waiting for me. So stop. I'm salivating. Yeah.
You guys can hold your horses for a couple of seconds. I haven't eaten either and I'm not even hungry. So stop trip in. I'm just kidding.
Says the one in the time zone where it's still like light out.
No, yeah. Yeah. True. True.
I'm just playing.
And who ate breakfast really late, but just kidding.
I think proving the point you're about ready to make.
That y'all need to eat.
No, that you don't need to be reliant on certain things. You're talking about like letting go of certain cravings, and for few it's food.
Exactly. Well, like it wasn't food, but like I started to see a lot of things that way. Like my eyes started being open to like that sort of thing, like the need for things, you know, even like physical objects, like I want that. The new iPhone just came out. I want that, or, you know, that sort of thing. Like, and I just started feeling like I didn't need those things. There was a point in time where I was drinking a lot of coffee, going to the coffee shop as like an escapism type of thing. And even while I was doing it, I was telling myself, like, I knew both sides. I was telling myself, to justify, I would say, well, it's not like a terrible habit. Like, you know, it's just coffee. Like, you know, there are worse habits. You know?
Won't really die, Eve. Right. Yeah. It's got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And then on the other end, I was telling myself, okay, you're doing this as an escapism type of thing. You're just right now, you still need it. And one day you'll figure it out that you don't really need it. And you'll have that day. You'll have that moment. So it's like, I knew what was going on. So I've experienced that.
I think that's what I want to add really quick is that happens a lot. That happens with me as well. And I'm sure other people experienced it. And to give a different perspective, when that happens, I think one of the things you could do is to be easier on yourself in that moment. Like you said, you know, you know that you're just doing this now, and you should actually be happy that you're in a realm where you're able to experience coffee every day, you know, so be thankful for the certain things that it does for you, because then it won't be like a shadow aspect. It won't be this naughty thing that you do. It's just like, hey, this is just something I'm fucking doing. You know, I'm a Taoist. We're in this crazy realm. You know, there's people that are doing really terrible things. This isn't as bad. So yeah, again, you know, like you're like the snake. It's not going to kill Eve, but guess what? It didn't kill her.
Right. Sure. Who was the bad guy in that scene? Hey.
Really the bad guy?
So yeah.
But it goes back to intent, right? I mean, yeah, you're putting intent out there. It's like, all right, I know I shouldn't be doing this because there's no real need for it. There's no real long-term benefit, but I'm here. It's there. I'm experiencing this life. I'm going to enjoy it. But my intent is to, like, I know I'm not going to fall over and just be like, oh, I just want to have chips all night. And like,
yeah. You know. And to not make a claim, but to make it a little further, you could even say if people are engaging in things that they're doing, say they smoke cigarettes and they drink soda and eat McDonald's and they think, oh my God, this is terrible, I shouldn't be doing this, but they do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Then it's really it's kind of like people,
it's different.
They're screwing themselves in another way, because then there's that denial and then they're still doing something they know they shouldn't. So deep down, it's like their body's could manifest something. It's like you're setting the stage for something bad to happen. That's why when I do things, I'm just like, let's do it. Like if I'm going to eat some, like I usually don't eat wheat or whatever, but if I'm at a wedding and I see some really good cookies or something, I'm like, I'm just going to eat this and I'm not going to feel bad about it.
Right.
I'm fucking eating it and it's good.
I do that too. I totally get it.
Oh yeah. But no. Yeah. I know you do, Sharon. It's because you're a freaking legend over here, but you know, for everyone listening, that's what I'm. Yeah.
I was just going to say, you said that if you're looking at something and saying, that it is that, you know, it's wrong, but you're still doing it. I was looking at that way with the coffee escapism thing. And I was like, I know that, you know, I was justifying it, but at the same time, I was like, I know that I'm doing this as escapism. But one day so on one hand, it's okay to know that, you know, one day you're going to get sick of it.
Yeah,
I guess. Right. Yeah. It's a good aspect to know that something's wrong with it in some ways. Right.
Yeah.
Because maybe that'll lead you to realizing that one day you'll get sick of it and you won't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And then you just go easy on yourself in the meantime, because everything, you know, we talk about mind control and conditioning and so in society norms and all the stuff we try to live up to. Well, the root of it is really yourself choosing to go along with it, choosing to enslave yourself. And how are you enslaved? Could it be by these little voices in your head that just
mind,
you know, your own mind, it just keeps repeating stuff over and over to you. And it'll say these things. Yeah, you're terrible. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. But instead you're like, no, I should do this. You know, it's insane that we live in a time where all this stuff could be at your fingertips. Why not enjoy a little bit of it? And then as you get sick of it, and you could just adjust your behavior. But again, it's like you said, it's intent. Why are you doing this? If you're going to drink alcohol or do drugs or whatever, it's why are you doing it? Are you doing it to escape a situation in your life? And again, it's not a judgment, that not that that's wrong, but are you doing it for that reason? Or are you doing it to enjoy life, to make it better, to, you know, whatever it is, you know, are you having a glass of wine so you could enjoy a time out with a bunch of friends and family and do a toast
and taste it? You know, for me, it's taste. I like the way wine tastes. I don't drink it to get drunk.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, that's what it does. So I can't drink too much of it.
I don't do cocaine. I only like the smell of cocaine. Okay. So
just like the superpowers it gives me.
I'm like, hey, is it, that's a Colombian oak with it had a little bit of Honduran guy's butt. It's definitely in a Honduran's butt for like a week. The comedy just has to come out somehow. So yeah, is that a Mexican's anal cavity? I could smell that also later. It was gross. 95 degrees. He must have ate burritos. All right.
No, I was definitely an enchilada.
Yeah, enchilada. Yeah, no, I get it. I like wine myself as well. But yeah, no, it really is, because we're in this realm. And you know, what if, like, when you get done, people are gonna be like, what did wine taste like? And you're like, oh, I never drank. Fuck.
What good are you?
Yeah, I don't know. Just follow that intuition, you know, do as thou wilt. And that's one of the most misunderstood phrases. We could close on that. Everyone's gonna burn this podcast now. I really feel like what the message of that, for me anyway, what it means, I'll just say my interpretation is, it's just kind of like, do as your will pulls you, as your intuition, as your higher self pulls you, the will, you just follow it kind of like a stream. And you just, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you know, that's really what it's about. And yourself, because if you're hurting yourself.
Right. You don't love yourself. As it doesn't go against natural law. Right.
Yeah.
Do as thou wilt, as long as it doesn't go against natural law.
Yeah. And if you look at wilt and what they mean by, you know, who knows? I don't know. A guy said it. Maybe he meant go have sex with goats. I don't know. I'm just saying, for me, that's what it means. But anyway, Adam, is there anything else you'd like to? Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
If you don't feel judgment from it, and no one's judging you, do as thou wilt. And then you're probably going to be like, oh, that was stupid. I'm never going to do that again. All right. Well, now you can learn from it. Now go do as thou wilt again. That sheep looks good. You know, maybe you have a problem.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, well, you know, obviously not talking about barn animals, but farm animals, I mean, but you got to experience it for yourself. You know, that's the way it is. Sometimes you just can't be told. And if you're doing something because you think you ought not to do it.
Right. That's,
and you're repressing it, you know, you're really just, it's going to come out another way.
It's going to bottle up into something even worse.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like a dam. You're not going to stop it with gum. It's just going to come out somewhere else, you know? So.
Right.
Let that dam break, let the waters flow. Anyway, any final thoughts there, Adam, before we wrap up? Thanks again so much for coming on our show.
Thanks.
Every time you come, it's a blessing, or a blessing and a blast. So yeah, it's a blast.
It's a blasting.
It's a blasting.
I feel so blasted.
Yes. I've got a blast all over you guys.
Sacredly, though, don't worry, it's sacred.
Everybody. Sacred, right?
Sacred blast. Sacred all right, everybody, thank you for listening to the Oversharing. We're oversharing to the max. Anything else for you, Sharon, that you'd like to share on the Oversharing show?
Well, just one last thing. You were saying that if you repress something, so it just made me think of like growing the way I grew up.
And oh, yeah, when, yeah, please do.
When someone, like a parent, says, no, you're not allowed to do something, and that something isn't really like a terrible thing, but if you aren't allowed to do it, let's say it's
let's say commandments. It's sorry about that.
Let's say it's piercing your ears, right? Which is just, you know, if you just, you know, put a couple earrings on, it doesn't hurt anybody. You know, it hurts just for an instant when it pokes you, but that's it, right? But if they say, no, you're not allowed to wear earrings, then as a child, you might grow up and say, well, but I want them. And then all of a sudden, now you just want them everywhere. You know, you might get piercings all over your eyebrows and all over your ears and all over your body. And then you've made it, because you've held onto that so long, you've made it an obsession.
Your identity.
And you've made it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time you had to bottle that up, that's one piercing. I had to bottle it up another year. That's another piercing. So it's going to manifest.
It could manifest. Yeah.
Man. That's it's why I said 10 commandments. Because right, everyone knows you're not supposed to go killing somebody. And I think that's part of it. Don't go killing somebody. Now all I can think about is not killing somebody. Now I can't. And next thing you know,
it's the don't aspect, slaughter, right?
Right.
Don't.
Yeah. Especially if you see people in your environment engaging in that behavior. Like when I was younger, everyone's like, don't smoke. And then everyone's smoking. You're like, what kind of message are you trying to send?
That's why Brandon smokes. Dare I say?
No, actually, I didn't start.
Oh, I thought you were playing your piccolo. I thought that.
He's the Pied Piper. I'm just kidding.
Just like the Pied Piper. Yeah. Anyway,
right now this video is blocked because it's going to be copyright strike.
Oh no, that was
crap.
I sound just like Dave Mustaine from Megadeth. That's what that song was. Everybody, well, thank you for listening to the Oversharing show. Yeah, I like what you said there at the end. I think that's really, really important, because when you're told you're not supposed to do something, that's exactly what you want to go do. So, I mean, until you reach a point where you gain enough wisdom to realize that maybe you should listen to what other people have to say. But even then, sometimes you still want to do it. So, and hey, it's your right, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what do we say, Sharon?
If you're not oversharing,
you are not caring.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
thank you, Brandon.
Adam. Thanks, Sharon. Thanks, everybody, by the way, in the live chat right now. Thank you guys for listening. You guys,
there's people in live chat.
Well, there will be when this premieres. Oh.
So I mean, look, there's people in live chat.
Oh, yeah there are. Sorry. Even we're on the live chat.
Yeah.
Brandon?
Yeah, we'll be there. See, look, I'm commenting myself now. Look how I am handsome. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you very much. Yes, I do have a lovely golden voice. Thank you, Brandon. All right, guys. Until next time, keep oversharing.